Thank you very much, Wayne. That was a real blessing. It's a good old hymn, and it's a blessing to hear it played. And it's something I know my folks, they got an accordion one time. I think they got it in a sale or something. It's still at home, and so who knows, maybe one of the kids will, after hearing that, will think they want to take it up. That would be a real blessing. Thank you very much. That was really a blessing. All right, if you'd turn with me in your scriptures, let's begin in Titus chapter 2. We're going through our series of defining doctrines and just basic concepts that we have. Sometimes we figure we have them understood, and then sometimes there's things that we misunderstand. Sometimes there's just a new wrinkle that the Lord brings in that just opens up a whole new set of blessings for us in our understanding. And the concept that we want to deal with this evening is the concept of grace. And I want to read, to begin, Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. And it says, Titus 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for, Lord, for this day that you have blessed us with. We thank you for the fellowship that we have had one with another, and the blessing of music, Lord, and just the memories and things that it evokes, Lord. We just we pray, Lord, that we would bless, or you would bless us, Lord, as we look into your word. We thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace, Lord, that is abounding even to the chiefest of sinners, Lord, and that it is such a wonderful concept. Lord, help us to just get at least a glimpse of how great it is, and Lord, and gain a greater appreciation of it this evening, Lord. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we understand the term grace, of course, in some ways we immediately think, well, someone that's graceful, that you think of a ballet dancer or something like that, that they're graceful. And but we understand, of course, that that's a different idea than what we're talking about in the Scriptures. We understand grace to be the idea of favor, of first time we see grace in the Bible is Genesis 6 verse 8, where it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord," where everyone on earth, all the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually, but there was this one man that found grace. And so it was favor that, although the Lord wanted to destroy the whole earth because of the wickedness, that Noah was a godly man, and the Lord warned him of what was going to happen, and he said, "Well, I want you to build an ark to prepare for the saving of your family and of two of every kind of animal." And so we understand grace in that sense to be favor, and we'll find that if you go through, especially when it's talking about between Abraham and different people, between different kings, that it's the idea that they want to find grace in their sight, that they want to have favor. And when we study the Scriptures, when we term of grace, we recognize that it has to do with unmerited favor, that it is something where God is gracious to us, and it isn't something that we deserve it, that we earn it, but yet He grants it unto us. And we see that the idea of grace is an aspect of God's love. This is found in Psalm 145, verse 8. It says, Psalm 145, verse 8, The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. That He is one that is not a God that wants to withhold His favor, is one who He wants to shed His favor upon man. That He is gracious to us far beyond what we would expect, far beyond what we would deserve. But it is such a blessing to know that. We think in terms, if we try to explain it, that we understand mercy to be not receiving what we deserve. When there is a just penalty that should be enacted upon us for our sin, that we have mercy, we're forgiven. That what we deserve is hell, an eternity separated from God, and yet He is merciful to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're forgiven, that we escape that. But yet grace, we understand, to be one step beyond that. It's receiving what we don't deserve. It's one thing to say, okay, well, you don't have to go to hell, I've forgiven you. But really, if He just left us kind of in limbo sort of thing, that would be just fine. That would be beyond what He should do for us, really. But yet, to be so gracious that He would allow us to live for Him for eternity in heaven, and that we would allow to be adopted as children of God, we who were sinners, that we would be allowed to be representatives of Him to a lost and dying world, that is His grace, that it is such an amazing thing that we have. And someone has made an acrostic of grace, and it said as God's riches at Christ's expense. And we understand that is what grace is. That's of showing His love to us through His Son. And we understand that our salvation is of grace. It is not of works. It is not something that we can earn. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, by grace are ye saved through faith. That faith is the way that we accept it, but it isn't something that we work for it or anything like that. That we know that the work has been done. That it has been the grace of God that has provided the way of salvation for us. The gift of salvation. That we did not deserve it and we could not earn it. And God's grace was manifested in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for us. We see in John chapter 1, verse 14, if you turn there with me. John chapter 1. Verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That we understand that of God's love so far beyond what we ever deserved, that He gave His only begotten Son to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could be adopted as His children, so that we could be witnesses for Him, that it is an honor and a privilege, and it is all because of His grace. And we read in Romans 3:24 that we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, that we are totally forgiven. It is made as if we had never sinned at all. That it is a gift to us. It's not something that we deserve. And it's by His grace that we're made heirs of eternal life, that we're made joint heirs with Christ. And very much as the song says that we sang of John Newton's Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And that as we read those verses of that hymn of how grace has taught our heart to fear and has relieved our fears, and so much that grace helps us through each day, that it is such an abundance blessing to us. And we read the blessing in Romans chapter 5. You turn there with me. It says Romans 5 verse 15, says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And this gift by grace that was given, the gift of salvation, that it's abounded unto many. And we see verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And that is the blessing that we know that there is no sinner too great that the Lord cannot save, that the Lord cannot redeem, that His grace does much more abound. That it is such a blessing to know that there is not a limit to it, and that God can save even the worst sinner on earth. But then we see it's something that we want to understand in our Christian life. And it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And it says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And we see also in verse 14 of that same chapter, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. And so it is this sense that we have that because we have the grace of God that is bestowed upon us, that we don't deserve it, that we're saved, and once we're saved forever. There is always that thought in the back of our mind, back of our flesh says, well, I'm saved, I can do whatever I want, I've got my ticket, and He's never going to take it away, so I'm okay. But if we think that, we've totally missed the whole point of our salvation, the whole reason that He saved us. And that's what we saw in the passage that we first looked at in Titus chapter 2, that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. And what does it teach us? It doesn't teach us that we should live in sin, that grace may abound. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That because of the grace that He has given to us, that there is a response that should come, that because He gave so much for us, that we should be willing to give our lives unto Him, that we turn our lives over to Him. And there's an important verse that I've found in my Christian life. It's found in Colossians chapter 2. You turn there with me. And this helps us to understand the place of grace in our life, because of course, so often we think of our salvation as being just at the moment of when we've passed from death unto life, but of course we understand that the Lord wants to save all of us. He wants to free us not only from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin in our daily life. And it says in Colossians 2, verse 6, it reads, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And we think of that if you think of it another way, that the basics of our salvation, of how we receive Christ, are also the basics of our Christian life. That we received Him by faith, and so therefore we are to walk by faith. That we are to trust Him, that we are to follow what His Word says, that we look to see what we're to do in our lives. We read the Scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so then as the Holy Spirit reveals the Scriptures to us, brings it to our understanding, illuminates it, then we seek to put it into practice. And we understand, of course, that we're saved by grace. And so it is the whole idea that we are to walk in grace, that we are to be living by grace. And it speaks of in 2 Peter 3:18 that we are to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That it is to be not just something that we think of at the beginning of our Christian life, but throughout. That it's supposed to permeate our whole thought process. And we actually, it's something with Amazing Grace, the hymn, that as we look at it, that really hit the idea of grace, that it doesn't just speak of His salvation, that's kind of the first verse, but then it speaks of His whole Christian life, that even at the end, that he'll still be in heaven praising the Lord for His amazing grace. And so that's what we want to understand. If you'd turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." In verse 2 it says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." That we think of that we stand in this grace is that which wherein we stand. That we read in Ephesians how it says that we're supposed to stand against the wiles of the devil, having done all to stand, that it is by His grace that we do that. That it is not our own abilities, it is not of ourselves, it is not of our own works, but it is by His grace that we stand. And we understand with our idea of grace that it is the favor of God, that it is different from mercy. And as a Christian, that we can live a Christian life and we do the best we can, but of course we fail each day that we can struggle. But we know the blessing in 1 John 1 verse 9, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I think maybe you've perhaps found, especially if there's a habit that you have a hard time breaking, that you try to overcome it and then you have trouble with it, and it's sort of every day you're asking forgiveness for it and the Lord gives you forgiveness for it. And what's happening is you're living in mercy, which is a good thing. But the fact is the Lord wants us to step one step beyond that, and He wants us to live by grace. He doesn't simply want to forgive us of our daily sins or daily failings, even though He will every single time. It's the thought that He wants to impart to us the means by which we can have victory over sin in our daily lives. That we can walk by grace, that we can have the ability to overcome sinful habits and other things, so that practically, day by day, we can be freed more and more from the power of sin in our lives. So we see this in Hebrews chapter 4, if you turn there with me. So Hebrews 4, verse 15, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." That's the idea that we understand, that Jesus Christ went through absolutely everything that we will ever face. He was tempted in all points and yet without sin. And He can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He isn't one that says, "Well, what's the matter with you? I did it. What's wrong with you?" That instead, it's the idea that because He's gone through it, He wants to help us through it as well. He has succeeded in overcoming that sin. He wants us to give us the ability to succeed as well and overcome that sin as well. And so it says, verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." That the throne of God, it's the understanding that we have that He is our great high priest, that He is our sacrifice, that provides the atonement, and the veil is rent from the top to the bottom, and we can approach the very Holy of Holies, that we can come before the throne of grace boldly, not in fear, and that we can ask for that grace that we need, that we obtain mercy when we failed. But then we also find that grace to help in time of need, so that we don't continue to fail, but instead we succeed. That say if we get in a situation, especially if it's with a difficult person, and it's something that we always find in life, that there's somebody that seems to have a way of just pushing our buttons, that it's just, you don't know how they do it, especially if it's a relative or someone that you know you're supposed to love because they're family, but because they know you well, they know how to get under your skin, and it's such a tendency to react. And of course, you know that if you react, then that doesn't make it any better. It just makes it worse because they, well, I got them this time, so I'll try to see if I can get them again. But to be able to bring ourselves under control, to have that grace so that instead of reacting, that we respond in the Spirit, that it is God's empowering to live the Christian life. And we understand grace to be that grace, God's grace really begins where our striving ends. That we understand that in our salvation, that when we come to a place where we realize that our works are not sufficient, that no matter how much we try to do, that all our righteousness are filthy rags, and we come to that and we say, Lord, I can't save myself. I need You to save me. I need to trust in Your Son. Then that is when we receive His grace by faith. And it is the same in the Christian life. When we come to a point where there's something that we just can't handle, that we go, Lord, I need Your help. I need You to give me the strength. And He's given us a new nature. He's given us His Holy Spirit. And we find that we have the strength that we knew that we didn't have. And that He wants to give it to us. And sometimes we find that God will put us in a position where we're pushed to our limits and beyond. That we're feeling like we're just going to collapse, have a nervous breakdown, that we're going to just do something with just serious long-term consequences that would be damaging for a long time. But He's not putting in us in that position so that we would despair. He's putting us in that position so that we would cry unto Him, that we would come before His throne of grace to find that grace to help in time of need. We see this in the life of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul was apostle of Christ, that we know that during his ministry that the Lord gave him the ability to heal many people. But yet we find that in his own life that the Lord gave him a thorn in the flesh. And we don't know what it was. Some suppose that it was bad eyesight. I think that's probably the most popular assumption. There's other thoughts as well. And he prayed to the Lord that the Lord would allow it to depart from him, that he didn't want it anymore. He wanted to be freed from it. And the Lord said unto him, verse 9, it says, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And we find that in our Christian life, that when we think that we can handle it, when we think that we can manage on our own, that's when we falter. We think of the children of Israel when they first went in to take the promised land, that the Lord gave them the victory at Jericho, and they went and they scouted out Ai, and they had the thought, oh, well, we can take it. You don't need to even bring that many men. We can do this ourselves. And they hadn't sought counsel of the Lord. They didn't realize how much of a fighters the people of Ai were, and of course they didn't realize that there was sin in the camp, that there was some that they hadn't dealt with, and the Lord couldn't bless them because of that. And so we find that in our Christian life, that we can have a great victory and we can think, oh wow, I'm something, I did really good here. And then what happens is we start to trust in our own strength, and then we find that we're so weak. But then when we realize that we're weak and we cry out to God for help, that's when we're strong. And it's something that we learn, and it's part of growing in grace, that more and more we stop trying to rely on ourselves and we start relying more and more on God's grace to help us through. And that is what He desires for us. And if you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, this will be the last verse we look at this evening. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. This is Paul speaking to his son in the faith, Timothy. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." That we look to Him, that we understand that we need His enablings, we need His mercy and forgiveness for when we fail Him, but yet we also we cry out for His grace, that we desire that. Anything that we do in the Christian life, any service that we have, that we know that we need Him to give us the grace to do it. And really the whole thought of ministering to someone, to be able to love as Christ loved, especially to love those that are unlovely, especially as it speaks that we are to love our enemies, bless them that curse us, pray for them to despitefully use us, that we know that's not within our capacity at all. That we can't live like that. If someone treats us wrong, then we either hit them back or at least we withdraw our love from them. And yet the Lord wants us to still love them, because that's how He sends the rain on the evil and on the good. And so to be able to do that, to be filled with the grace of God, so that in turn that we can be a demonstration of the grace of God to others, that we are able to show love and kindness, that we are not overcome with evil, but that we overcome evil with good. That there's so much, and the more and more we understand it in our Christian life, that there's so much that is beyond our human ability. And the more and more we get to rely on God, rely upon His grace, that we cry out to it, for it to Him, that He will bless us, that He will give more grace to us, that He isn't one that wants to see us suffer. It is that grace to help in time of need that sometimes, right at the point where we feel ourselves failing, that we see, "Lord, I'm not going to make it through this. I don't know what to do." And then we can just feel Him filling us, feeling Him empowering us, see the Holy Spirit just kind of take over things and handle it. And even sometimes we find with the words that we speak that it's like they're exactly the words that need to be said, and we wonder, "Oh, how did I ever get those out in that order? That just doesn't seem to be me at all." But yet the Lord can do that. And so it is the Christian life that it begins with the grace of God, and throughout our whole Christian life that it's permeated with the grace of God, that is how we are to grow in grace, we are to live by grace, and we are to stand in it and be strong in it. And so may the Lord help us that we would appreciate His amazing grace once again, and that it is something that we would always, each day that we would come boldly to the throne of grace, that we would get that grace that we need at the time that we need it. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You so much for Your amazing grace, Lord, for saving us from sin, and then, Lord, adopting us, Lord, as Your children, and wanting to make us in Your image, and using us to be witnesses for You, Lord. We know that we do not have the strength, we do not have the ability to serve You, Lord, but we are so thankful that You're willing to give of Yourself, give of Your grace, so that we might fulfill Your will for our lives. Lord, we just pray that You would help us to remember how weak we are, that we need Your strength, and that we would come to You for even every little thing, Lord, that You would empower us, that we would live a life that is pleasing to You and bring honor and glory to You, Lord. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you stand with me, and we'll turn to hymn number 208. And we'll sing "Grace Greater Than Our Sin," hymn 208.